Well, that's a section of Interstate 4 that lies basically halfway between Orlando and Daytona Beach. It's heavily traveled by tourists when they're coming down to visit the theme parks or the beaches. So people from all over the country pass through this so-called dead zone. To understand the whole story about the Interstate 4 dead zone, we'll have to go back a little ways in history to 1870, when that portion of Florida was purchased by a man named Henry Sanford, for which Sanford, Florida is named after. And he ran into some money problems, so he gave a lot of his land to an investment group that was known as the Florida Land and Colonization Company, in exchange for him being the president of the corporation. Well, in 1887, he divided this portion of his of the land up into 10-acre plots.
Okay.
And he wanted to sell mainly to German immigrants. So what he did, he was going to form a Roman Catholic colony there, and he was going to put a priest in charge of the colony, and he was going to advertise to German immigrants to come there and settle. Well, he did obtain a priest, Father Felix Prosper Swinburg, who came to the area from Kansas. He was originally from France. So he had his priest in place, and everything was looking good for this real estate scheme of his. But only four immigrant families ever arrived there to settle. Well, right after they arrived there, a yellow fever epidemic broke out, and several of the families were stricken by the fever. And at the same time, the priest was called down to Tampa to minister to the victims of yellow fever down there. Within 3 days after arrival, the priest died. Well, back up into the area of Central Florida where this colony was at, there was four members of one family that perished as a result of the fever. So there was no priest there to give them last rites or anything, and they were just simply buried in simple graves well away from the other settlers. Now, the area finally kind of fell apart, and the colony never made it, and the people drifted on to other places. And over the years, that area became known as Lake Monroe, named after the nearby lake. In 1905, Albert Hawkins bought the property where the graves were at. Well, at this time, the graves were sitting in the middle of a cleared field. They appeared to be like little islands sitting in the field, and all the tractors plowed around the graves. You could not read the markings because they were wooden markings, so all the writing or what have you had long faded away.
Yeah, they were old ones.
Yeah. And so the story was, because there was a gap, you know, between the time that colony existed there and in 1905, there was a gap in history, so a lot of the story got lost. But anyway, the graves, the story about the graves was that it was four graves of Dutch settlers who had died from the fever. Well, people had misinterpreted Deutsch as Dutch, and that was just about all that was known until I wrote a book titled The History of Monroe with Christine Best, my co-author, and we dug back into the records, the Henry Sanford papers and census records, what have you, and that's how we learned about the four people who died and was buried there. There are no other cemeteries in that area, and that where it was the only graves. Well, during the 1900s and 1920s, that field where the graves were at became known as the Field of the Dead because everybody in the local community knew there were four graves out there. And there was a medium that was a friend of my grandmother's whose name was Maggie Bell. And she was quite famous in this area for being a medium, and she used to hold seances at night. She warned everybody in the community to not mess around with the graves, to respect the burial places of these pioneers.
Then that's pretty smart advice, I think.
I think so, too. Well, one fella didn't do that. One fella had leased the property from my grandfather, and he attempted to remove a rusty wire fence from around this grave plot. And that night, his house burned down.
Oh.
So that was the first incident that that appeared to be something supernatural.
Did anybody put two and two together at that point, or was it just too soon?
Yes, they did. In fact, the story got circulating around the community that the reason the guy's house burned down was because he messed with the graves. Another strange thing that occurred was my grandparents' house was within probably 500 feet of where these graves were, and inside the house there was a small child's rocker, a little red rocking chair. And this little red rocking chair at night would rock by itself. Now, this house had a long hallway, which they call a shotgun hallway, that goes from the front through the house out the back. So you have to, you know, you have to consider such things as a breeze or something coming down the hallway that was causing the chair to rock. But it seemed to rock in almost any room that it was in, and usually around 10 o'clock at night, and without anybody sitting in it. And so the ghost story developed out of that. There was a deceased child sitting in the rocker. Well, we know that there were two children who were buried in these graves.
Mm-hmm.
This was four members of the same family, the mother, the father, and two children. And that little red rocking chair now, I managed to save that and have it restored and donated it to a local museum. So it's on display in the Seminole County Museum, just north of Orlando. I don't know that it's been rocking on its own since it's been there, but I haven't seen it, but I have heard that a janitor has seen it rock at night.
So these very bizarre events, Charlie, started to occur pretty soon after people started meddling out there.
Yes, that's correct. Now, and those things were basically minor compared to what happened later. In 1960, this property was taken by eminent domain for the building of Interstate 4 from Daytona down to Tampa.
Here we go.
And you can probably start guessing at the rest of this story.